Good afternoon. I'm Tom Lounges, taking a look at the arts. And today we've got a very interesting topic. Sheriff Lillian Holley. You'll remember that name from the old days, the John Dillinger days. And of course, she was the first female sheriff in Lake County, Indiana. And today we're going to talk about a new play that actually takes the stage tonight called Lillian. It's at the Lake County Courthouse Mackey Ballroom in downtown Crown Point. Joining us will be the historian and author of this play, Miriam Kellum. We've also got the Lake County Courthouse Foundation President, Marty Wheeler, and Mr. Bruce Woods, one of the actors in the play. It's all coming your way after your headlines here on A Look at the Arts. Good afternoon, I'm Tom Lounges, and it's time to take a look at the arts. Thank you for supporting public radio. With me in studio, we've got some great guests, and today's topic is extremely interesting, especially if you grew up in the Calumet region, northwest Indiana. If you did, you know the name Sheriff Lillian Holley. She was the first sheriff in Lake County, in fact, one of the first female sheriffs in America. And we're going to talk about her life. We're going to talk about a brand new stage production called Lillian that was written by Miriam Kellum. We've got Miriam in the studio with us, also Lake County Courthouse Foundation President Marty Wheeler, and we've got Bruce Woods. Bruce is going to be starring in this production of Lillian, which actually takes the stage tonight in downtown Crown Point. And, well, we're going to get to that in just a second. Wants Me. Great song there, going back to the 1970s. One hit wonder, R. Dean Taylor. Raise your hand if you remember that one off your favorite KHL album. Now, we played that because we're talking today about Sheriff Lillian Holley, and I'm sure she probably said that to John Dillinger. Indiana wants you, John, and we're going to get you. And, of course, Lillian Holley is very famous, not only for the role she played in the John Dillinger story, which, of course, is very well known, but also because she was the first female sheriff in Northwest Indiana. She really did a great job, despite that little tarnish in there. And we're going to talk about her life. We're going to talk about why she's important and why she's deserving of her own stage play. And here to talk about that with us is Marty Wheeler of the Lake County Courthouse Foundation, Bruce Woods, and author, historian, playwright Miriam Kellum. Let's start first of all with Miriam. Why a story about Lillian Holley at this point?
Interestingly enough, I came to this town in 1959. And
that was the year I was born.
You were born. Everybody was born after that day. Yeah. Anyway, I found out about the escape. I'd known about Dillinger and so forth. But none of my kids in class, I was a teacher at the high school.
Crown Point?
In Crown Point. And they simply hadn't heard about Lillian Holley. They didn't know the name. And I had three daughters. And I got to looking into the case, and I realized right away this was a very brave, a very strong-willed, a very stand on her own 2 feet, do the job, mm-hmm. don't blink, take credit for what
she
you
was
do.
A tough cookie.
Tough cookie. Yes, she was. And very admirable for that reason, ahead of her time. Mm-hmm. I have done research that says she was the first sheriff in Indiana, the all of Indiana.
Really?
Kentucky had one before us, but that's out of state.
Wow.
Yeah, so she was ahead of her time. The reason she became sheriff, of course, is a tragic story. But so I just thought, girls ought to know about this story, mm-hmm. and they didn't. I had a drama class at the time, and I was teaching, and I said, well, why don't you pick a person, you know? And so the girls were having, you know, this person, that person. I said, well, why not Lily and Holly? And they quite frankly said, who's Lily and Holly?
Right. She is, we just had a recent show on about VJ Records and Vivian Carter, and we described it at the mm-hmm. library, and when I put it together, it was like she was one of those hidden figures of history, and Lillian is very much a hidden figure as well. We Absolutely. Know her locally, a few of us do anyway, but obviously the young generation didn't, and that was a real shame.
The reason that they didn't is because Crown Point was very embarrassed. This, we were, before the escape, mm-hmm. we really enjoyed the attention of the whole nation and the world, you know. We had newsreels newsreels, by the way, were news on that you saw in the movies when you sat
instead
down.
Of cartoons, instead of cartoons, they would keep us up to date. There was no, yeah. there was no there, CNN back
no,
then.
No, no CNN. So anyway, you know, movie cameras in the streets, reporters of all kinds from all over the world, but certainly all over the country. So we liked that. All of a sudden, the escape. Mm-hmm. And abuse was heaped on Crown Point as a whole, Sheriff Holly in particular. The politicians who really, I think, deserved much more credit for setting up so the escape could happen, they tended to point to Lillian. They mm-hmm. said, no, let's look over there. Make sure you point to Lillian when you're talking about this. So she took a tremendous amount of abuse. She stood up and she said, I take full responsibility. Don't blame anybody else. Blame me. I don't have a political future, and I don't care. They cared. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and a lot of people in town realized that she was a very fine person. And she wasn't from Crown Point originally.
I didn't know that.
They got moved to Crown Point when he became sheriff, when her husband became sheriff.
Now, how long did he serve?
He served one whole term and 17 days. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't that happy about his being a sheriff, and that, you know, they had twin daughters, and raising twin daughters in the sheriff's house with the jail right next door, she wasn't comfortable with that.
Right.
So he won his re-election. He's a dentist, a very popular dentist. They didn't think he would, but he did. And then he was a good sheriff, and right. he won re-election. Interestingly enough, too, they didn't expect him to win because he was in the Democratic Party. Well, Democrats can't win in Lake County, right?
Right, right.
Things do change, folks. But anyway, so she served that term with him, and, you know, she was supposed to look after the matrons in the jail. She was supposed to manage the jail staff. Or the
just kind of like the first lady
staff.
Of the jail.
Exactly. Okay. You know, she did all that. But she was, you know, they were very close. 17 days into the new term, he got a call. A woman called. Her husband had gone out. Her sons were cutting a tree for firewood on their farm. And the neighbor came running up and yelling and screaming. And Lantaire was his name. And Mr. Lantaire was saying, get off my property. That's my tree. And so when the father showed up with the horses to drag the tree back in, he said, he started to point to the property line and said, that's our tree. And the man had a shotgun in his hand, mm-hmm. thought he was being attacked, we suppose. But he'd been a little crazy before that, too. Anyway, he killed Mr. Butere right in front of his own sons. So they run back to the house, they call the sheriff and so forth. Lantaire holds up in his house. So Roy comes out there, and he has several deputies, more on the way from Gary, from Lowell, from all over the county. And he felt that the best way to deal this would be to talk to the man. He was okay. like that. He was a good, decent, kind, good guy who could be tough. And he's talking to the man. The man, all he will say is, I don't want to talk, get off my property, so forth. And while they're talking, he suddenly hears footsteps running up the stairs. So Carol thinks, well, he's running up the stairs, so he runs into the house, starts up the stairs, and of course, Lantaire shoots him dead in the stairs. Shoots him, and he dies 4 hours later. But
So she kind of inherited the post.
Well, the very next, imagine your husband is lying dead in the funeral home, and the council calls and says, but we need you to come to the council office the next day, morning of the next day. And they apologize for saying, but, you know, we have to have a new sheriff, and you're living in the sheriff's house. And so everything would work out if you just let us appoint you sheriff. We don't want you to be sheriff. We won't let you do anything. You know, you won't have to do anything.
Because you're just a woman.
You're just a woman after all, you know. And to her credit, she simply said, if you appoint me sheriff, I will be the sheriff. Nothing will be done in my name.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how she became sheriff.
It's a shame because it seems like what really threw her under the bus was the fact that he took her car when Dillinger escaped.
That was so big.
That was the big issue.
Right. And it
could have been any car, but he took hers.
He happened to take hers. He walked to the garage right next door where her car was parked. You know, he walked out of the jail, walked out, there you go. And supposedly, the first story that I ever heard in town was he tapped, I think it was Ed Sager, who was working as a mechanic, he had his feet sticking out from under the car and says, what's the hottest car in here? And Sager supposedly said, that one over there, the sheriff's car, it's a brand new V8 Ford. And she says, well, that's the one I'll take. And so he pulled Sager out and loaded
the keys.
Yeah, right. And,
wow.
And on the way out of town, he sang, get along, little dogies.
Wow. Now, this play, Lillian, is a fundraiser for the historic Lake County Courthouse. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Tell us a little bit about the courthouse. Marty Wheeler is president of the foundation. Mm-hmm. And what exactly, why are we saving the courthouse? Why is it important?
Well, it's sort of the heart and soul of Crown Point and the county, too. Mm-hmm. And we started having plays. Oh, years ago we had plays, and then they kind of died out, and now I've sort of revived them. And we have usually one play a year that is a courtroom drama, and we have it in the courtroom.
Like Five Angry Men or something like that?
Yes, yes, we've had that. We had that one. And I can't really name the ones that we've had, but there were about five that were courtroom dramas.
Anatomy of a Murder, for
yes,
instance.
That was, that was another. And so this one is a little different. We're having it downstairs in the Mackey Ballroom.
Okay. How big is that? How many people can attend a performance?
225.
Okay.
That's capacity.
That's a healthy crowd.
That's capacity. And then there's a little bar room at the back of the Mackey. But it's prepared theater style today for the show tonight. And we're hoping that we have a nice full crowd.
So is this a bigger venue then by moving it downstairs than it had been in the past?
No, it's just a little different arrangement.
Okay.
And we were thinking possibly of having dinner theater, and then that plan was changed a bit. But it'll be kind of fun to try this. You know.
Now, is this the first time you're doing an original piece that's actually rooted right here?
No, we've had two or three of Marion's shows. He kicks out a show about every two or three years. He finishes one I think, then sleeps for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he comes up with something new.
Are your plays always about Indiana?
So far, yes. Well, I've got a short little piece that's just about love and the pursuit.
Okay. What were some of the other titles, just real quick?
Okay, the first one we did in the ballroom was called Frozen Stiff. It's based on a real case. A man opened his barn door and finds a body there, and it's frozen stiff because of the, you know they used to harvest ice.
For the ice boxes.
Exactly.
I've heard stories. I'm not that old, but I've heard
also,
stories.
All the meat packers in Chicago and so forth. So they hired a bunch of guys off of Skid Row to go down there and cut the ice. It's a nasty job. And
In Indiana here? Because I know they used to do that at Cedar Lake. They would
Lake.
Cut.
That's
yeah,
that's
what I mean. I apologize. In Cedar Lake.
Okay.
So anyway, this man's frozen body. Well, come to find out, he was something of a gambler and so forth, and one of the ice guys may have killed him. Who knows? You know, but the body. Mm-hmm. So it happened that the year 1916 was also the first year that Crown Point was a city. So the conceit of my play is that the whole town is gathered to mm-hmm. see a swearing in of the city council by the brand new mayor. And so he's up there, and he's getting ready to swear
in. Who was a Wheeler, by the
That's
way.
That's right. Oh, okay. That's right. Who was a Wheeler. A long line of Wheelers, important to Crown Point. Anyway, he's just getting ready to swear them in, and all of a sudden the sheriff wheels in a frozen stiff and comes
there
up.
There starts the story.
So, and that was a dinner theater. So okay. here you got a frozen stiff.
You
and
to
you
resurrect
got
that one. Not the stiff, think, but the play.
But I think the sort of interesting part of that is that Marion was reading about this event at Cedar Lake in the Lake County Star.
Yes.
And he would get the new edition, and mm-hmm. he could hardly wait to see what really happened at Cedar Lake with this stiff in the lake frozen.
Wow.
And by the way, I wasn't reading that in 1916. They do a little what happened in the past, mm-hmm. and so they did that. But yeah.
But I thought that was fun, and then it turned out to be a story, and it grew and it grew, and he talked to his wife about it at breakfast over the breakfast cereal.
Great.
And then the kids
topic.
All came in and that's how the play was born. And okay. it was a huge success. We had three nights of full mm-hmm, houses. Mm-hmm, three nights.
What year was that? How long ago did you write that?
About 5 years ago.
So you wrote it about 5 years ago?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
And
we may do it again.
Well, there's talk about it, and I may watch it this time. Anyway, there was a
from a wheelchair
from my hospital bed. The second play was called "Let's Get Hitched," and of course, it's based
like
on the
story.
Marriage Mill
right.
and three Ground love point, stories, courthouse. All intermingled, and the people that necessarily show up to get married at the marriage mill. You know that. Crown Point was the first county seat you come to in Indiana, coming out of Illinois. They didn't have a waiting period. The whole country didn't have a waiting period. They did have a waiting period, and Indiana did not. And so they came here to get married quickly for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a romantic
involved
comedy.
In that.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, two romantic comedies that were dinner theaters, and they sold very well, and this is a departure.
Very much so. Now, Lillian is how many members in the cast? And then we're going to talk to Bruce about what he's doing with this play.
We started with 22, and because this is a very vibrant theater community, the county is, mm-hmm. and Northwest Indiana, actors are in short supply, surprisingly. And so we had people who were already involved in other plays. The rehearsal schedules didn't work out, so we've had to reduce, which means we had to reduce the number of characters. So we're around 19.
I think 18. Bruce was drafted.
Definitely was.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm always called in to fill someone's slot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not an actor,
which he does very well. Yeah.
But you play
very
the role
well.
Of one.
Yeah. Well, I try. Yeah. I try.
Well, so what's your character in Lillian?
Well, I have two characters. I'm a councilman and also Judge Murray.
Okay. What is
two grouchy people? I hate to say we're typecasting here, but
not true.
Now, this is a historical story. Is it authentic? Or did you take some artistic license?
Excellent question. I did a lot of research. I tried to be as historically accurate as I could. I'll give you a typical example of why you can't always in a production be completely historically accurate. The Hollies had twin daughters. They mm-hmm. were delightful people, very interesting people, twins who were very different from each other, which is good dramatically, you know, contrast and so forth. But they were between 18 and 19 when Dillinger arrived, and they were 19 when he escaped. Our high school is doing Kiss Me Kate right now, Crown Point, and it's a great production, by the way. I did some backdrop paintings for them. But anyway, I couldn't get any teenage girls. And I've gone with, I think they're 11 mm-hmm. years old, and they are playing twin daughters.
Are they actual twins?
And they are not. But they've gotten wigs together. They've bought costumes together. Their mothers are just very cooperative, and they are so delightful. The whole cast gathers to watch it when they're on mm-hmm. because they're fun. They're just giggly, cute, fun. as the characters, which is very different. You know, they're not that annoyingly, you know,
in,
but they are on stage. They're good actors. And one of them got very sick just a few days ago, and we were worried. And she's got well, came back, and she's it's one of the best parts of the show. But they're 11 years old, and they should be 18 or 19. So we've rewritten it a little bit to make that, if that were the case. It's a typical example.
Now, Bruce, you've got a lot of history in your background as well. You are taking care of the, which museum is it again?
The Lake County Historical Museum.
And that's in the courthouse now.
Right on the second floor.
Tell us a little bit about that, because I've been to it, but I know a lot of people don't even know it exists. Because they just don't take the time to look into our own roots. Tell us about it.
Well, yes, a lot of people think they have to go out of town to do something. And you don't really have to go very far. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of things in the courthouse itself. There's a lot of things to do and see. But it's run by the Lake County Historical Society, which I'm the president, and that was formed in 1875.
Are you the founding president?
Almost. actually, this is my 40th year as president.
Wow. Okay.
But that's just because nobody else wants to do it. But so we opened the museum in 1982. We spent about 7 years raising money to start this museum.
Has it always been in the courthouse?
Yes.
Now, you moved from the top floor?
No. We've always been.
You're always in the top floor?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My office
middle
just moved.
Middle floor.
And Dillinger Museum's in the bottom
floor. The lower level.
That just moved. So I didn't know if you shifted at all.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
interrupt. I'm not moving a museum. Let me tell you.
Not that
we have museum. We have 10,000 artifacts.
Wow.
You could help me.
Now, I know that there was some great pictures. We're talking about the marriage mill. You've got pictures of, like, Muhammad Ali getting married there and all these different famous folks.
Right.
What all can we find in there that people might be surprised to know about Indiana?
Well, we have four rooms, four large rooms. Our first room is what we call the – we have to call it something because of our alarm system. So the first room is the agricultural room, and it has a lot about the early history of agriculture, in, which was – the major industry in Lake County at the beginning, with a lot of German immigrants. So that's what they knew about was farming. So we have a lot of implements. We have the Wheeler carriage. We have a carriage that was donated to us by Marty's husband. And a lot of implements. And we have a lot of school tours. And it's interesting to talk to them about these things. I was born and raised on a farm, so I know kind of how things work, but they have no concept of it at all, and they enjoy it. And then the next room is what we call the special civics room, and it has a lot about the North End, Gary Hammond, East Chicago,
the Industrial Revolution part of it. Okay.
Right, a lot of pictures from those areas, pictures of industry, and then the third room is a special exhibit. So we have just about everything in there, including a canoe. That was used for the reenactment of the LaSalle Expedition in 1976. And we have a five-holer that was used during a Cobe race. It's
what is that?
An outdoor toilet cover.
Okay. I'm going to go to see that.
It's family style.
Five.
And, but, yeah, we have... I guess that's kind of my concept. I look for something that's unusual.
Mm-hmm. That's
out of the ordinary.
Unusual.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of it is unusual. But
that's real family bonding.
Yeah.
My family had a two-holer, and everybody in my family took their turns except my brother, and he always bunched in with everybody.
Yeah. Well, see, you should have had one like this.
Yeah,
you know, everybody.
Wow.
Could. Yeah, that was for the Cobe race in 1909. And then the fourth room is a Victorian room. We have a lot of clothing. A lot of furniture, a lot of, we have a 1920s kitchen. Everybody says when they leave, this is a wonderful place. You've got a lot of stuff. So that's kind of my mantra is we have a lot of stuff.
Now, do you get a lot of business during like the farmer's market down there by the old jailhouse and stuff? Is there a lot of spillover? Because Crown Point seems to be a pretty bustling town. There really is a lot.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot. I personally, I'll be very happy when the festivals are moved to that new place by the Wheeler School.
Okay.
Because that kind of hurt us because they rope everything off for these beer gardens and everything. And it's difficult for people to get into the building. And they don't want to get in anyway because there's so much to do outside.
Right.
So
the joy of having it is that it's right almost on the square, but just enough off the square so it won't affect us adversely. So the courthouse will not be barricaded off.
Right.
And so we're thrilled with that.
I'm really curious because I've heard the name Wheeler pop up at least six times in the conversation about different generations and different things. Marty, tell me about your family. Are you like one of the first families at Crown Point?
I mean, Wheeler, everything. Related to Solon Robinson, who founded the town.
Okay.
He founded the town with 26 people, population 26, and I think that was in 1830.
Wow.
And then he... you know, there have been a series of buildings erected. One was a log cabin that disappeared, and another one became an opera house and was moved somewhere else. But the building has an interesting history, and it is so beautiful, and it's so beautifully cared for. It's many people walk in the front door. The east door is kind of like the front door,
mm-hmm.
and people are always astounded at the condition of the interior.
Now,
of
there's been a lot of renovation going on in Crown Point with these historical buildings. Mm-hmm. It started when Johnny Depp came to town. I remember covering that. I was living on this square there for about 4 days,
and the
movie company did a lot for the jail.
Right.
They funded everything, and then it kind of got contagious, and then you guys went to the courthouse, and then there's that secret elevator that was discovered or something. I mean, it's really an interesting artifact kind of thing.
The elevator was rediscovered when the Dillinger Museum went in downstairs, and that was functioning in the 40s.
And you didn't even know it was there?
Nobody remembered? I did. We knew. I'm old enough that
it comes into my museum.
I rode in that elevator. Yeah.
Because the way I read it, when I was reading it in a paper, it sounded like, you know, like Geraldo's vault or something. Like nobody knew it was there, and suddenly there's an elevator.
Yeah. But speaking of Wheeler, of course, the covered bridge at Lake County Fairgrounds is a result of a Wheeler also,
having it brought up
here from Rush County.
My father-in-law brought it and paid, I believe he paid $60.
For the bridge?
Yes, and he was on the State Highway Commission at the time.
Wow.
And so the then governor allowed him to use state trucks because he had heard that this bridge was going to be for sale and he wanted it for Crown Point. So he purchased it and they dismantled it, brought it to Crown Point, and put it back up.
Wow.
It's a beautiful bridge, beautiful bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The Lillian play, which is the main reason we're here to focus, is being performed tonight, is the opening night, and it's going to run Saturday, Sunday this weekend, and then all of next weekend, again, three more shows, correct?
Yes.
If the popularity proves warranted, would you extend it? Is it possible?
I think you would have to direct that question to this gentleman over here.
We would do that. We'd have to check with the cast on availability. That's a tight question, but we would want to do it as soon as possible. If you do a show and then you want to bring it back 3 months later, everybody has to rehearse a lot to get it back.
Right.
It would also depend upon availability of
bookings.
The space, because we rent that.
Weddings and things?
Yes, we rent the courthouse. I think we have close to 52 weddings a year. Or something, some function in the Mackey Ballroom. So we'd have to check.
Not quickie marriages, though.
Not anymore.
No more.
Let's get hitched.
Yeah.
I see appetizers, hors d'oeuvres, and things like that mentioned on the flyer here. Tell us a little bit about that. Is that included in the ticket?
Those are being provided by the restaurant that we now have in the basement, or the first floor.
Okay.
It can be called basement or first floor. It is called Noka's. And they're doing some really exciting things like bruschetta and some wings and sort of heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Heavy hors d'oeuvres.
And that will be at – the doors open at 6 tonight, and then the show is at 7.
And is that the same hours? Oh, no, you have matinees on Sunday, I see.
Yes.
Right.
So it's 2 o'clock appetizers, 3 o'clock play.
Yes.
Right. Excellent.
No, because they're the same people as Fahrenheit 212.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the staging of this. Now, how long did it take you to write this, Miriam, from start to finish?
32 years, 4 months, and 9 days. I have been working on an idea for a play about it for a long, long time since my daughters were little. I did some interviews with family members of mine who lived across the street from John Dillinger during those days. My father's aunt, for instance, was walking home from school, and John Dillinger, and after he had broken out of the Crown Point jail, she knew that the FBI were in and out of Mooresville, and she was walking home from school. She was high school, and Dillinger pulled him. He says they knew each other. Do you give you a lift home, Margie? And she said, no, thank you. So I was looking out. I was interviewing her, have it on tape. It's wonderful tape. And I looked across the street. She pointed out their house. And so I went over there. I wanted to get a picture. I knew the famous photograph that Dillinger had made of himself holding the wooden gun in front of the window in his father's farmhouse. And I wanted to get a picture of that, you know. So as I'm approaching the house with my camera in hand, a man came out of the door and looking at me. So I walked up to him and I said, would you mind if I took a picture of your house? He said, yes.
Wow.
So I got in the car and drove away. But, yeah, I worked on it for a long time.
Does the Dillinger family still own that?
They did at that time. Okay. It was the Dillingers were still there. I got to writing a few things about it, thinking I could form some kind of a play for high school, because I thought it would be an interesting project for high school kids to research their own history and develop a project. But about 3 years ago, I thought this has to be a play in the courtroom, right here, right now. And so it took me 2 years probably to get it all down the way I wanted it, because one of the most important characters in the play is the community.
Okay.
The community's reaction to what happened, how it affected them, their feelings about having a lot of strangers in town, having having the army in town, they had a Farmers Protective Association who were local people. They liked them a lot,
mm-hmm.
but the reporters and the newspapers, that got old. So they have various reactions. So I created a chorus like the ancient Greek chorus of ancient drama. They tell us what they are feeling at the time. And so that's the way I get the public opinion rolling.
Okay.
And so things like that, it took time to develop and to evolve. I also have a newspaper or a radio, a newscaster,
okay.
and he's a character in the play, and he takes a role or two. We all had to take multiple roles in the play because we ran out of actors. And Ed O'Brien is a wonderful newscaster character and these other things. So he can tie scenes together. You know, one scene ends, and then we hear a little bit about—
Almost like a narrator?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, not exactly a narrator, because he's also bringing in what was happening during the Depression. You know, what was FDR up to? What was happening to the dollar? Where were bread lines? This kind of thing.
Setting the tone for the era.
Setting the tone, exactly.
Okay.
Doing that, and also then setting us up,
with
tells a little
news.
Bit about Dillinger mm-hmm. before Dillinger shows up in Crown Point. And so ties it together. So both the chorus and the newscaster work together. And then I have a girls' trio. It's humorous calling the girls because they're younger than me and Marty, but they're a little older than girls. Anyway, they also sing songs of the period just to tie scenes together
okay.
or to help us move furniture on and off stage without a curtain.
All right. Is there a stage, per se, in there? Mm-hmm.
We put up a platform. Okay. We put up a platform for the first play, Frozen Stiff. And so it's raised 2 feet above the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sitting in the third row, you can see the actors very
okay.
well. And
because being a ballroom, that's the first thing I thought of.
Well,
how are you going to stage a play where everyone's going to see?
And then we've blocked off and made a square black frame over everything you're looking at and have a white screen behind it, like the old-time movie theaters.
Wow.
So everything about it is try to evoke the 30s. And then Jim Esler, the wonderful representative of the Lake County Sheriff's Historic
Jim
House.
Jim Emerson.
I am so sorry. Jim Emerson. He has wonderful pictures of Dillinger and the most heartbreaking pictures of Lillian. You see one and you know that's when she was at the funeral. You
mm-hmm.
just know it. It has to have been that. And of Carol Holly, a very important character. and of the girls in their graduating class. Wonderful pictures. We're going to have those on display in the room.
Oh, that'd be excellent. So you can see the real history.
They are absolutely worth the trip to see. They are wonderful pictures.
Are there any Holly family members left? And if so, have you heard anything from them, feedback?
There's probably a few of them. There's a granddaughter that I believe is coming to the play tonight, or tomorrow, maybe tomorrow night. But and then there, I think, are a couple of Hollies still in Lowell. And Carol Holly was the man who started the feed store in Crown Point. He was a he was older than I am, but he was a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And Lillian was a much older than I. But
what was the relationship
was
between
wonderful.
Him and Lillian?
Aunt and uncle.
Aunt and uncle, okay.
Aunt. She
aunt
was
nephew.
The aunt.
Okay.
He was the nephew, yeah. Yeah. But Lillian was a tremendous person to know. She was just a wonderful lady, and she was not on our board. Her daughter was on our board finally, but she was never on the board. But she started a woman's group downstairs, and it was the first of the kind of garage sale type things.
Okay.
And people brought
to raise money for the courthouse?
To raise money for us, yes.
Okay.
And in fact, she was responsible. She and her little women's group were responsible for buying the beautiful chandeliers that we have in the Mackey Ballroom.
Hmm.
And fixing the clock, too.
And also repairing the clock.
The chandeliers.
Oh, the clock on the outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is a huge, huge piece of machinery driving it. Who repairs them? Where'd she find this?
Wow.
You know.
We hear a lot about Lillian during the Dillinger era, and then we don't hear anything of her. What was the rest of her life like?
She was very civic-minded.
Okay.
And she was a Tri-Kappa, and she did things with Tri-Kappa. She did things with this women's group mm-hmm. downstairs. She was very actively engaged in the community.
And an interesting, at the time of the escape, right after it, the governor of the state of Indiana, McNutt, the state police, even people out of, you know, all over the country were saying that she should resign.
Right.
That she should, you know. And there was a lot of pressure, you know. So this was a very unpleasant place for her. To her credit, she not only finished her term, which was 3.5 years.
After the escape?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The escape, she finished out. Even though she was, they said, you should resign. This is terrible. You've done a terrible thing. Which she hadn't. And stayed in that community. She wasn't from Crown Point. She stayed in that community, became not just a member of the community, but a very substantial and productive member of that community. And that's why this community gathered around her, became her shield. You know, she was besieged all the rest of her. She lived to 103.
Wow.
So
when did she pass?
1996.
I'm not sure what the year was. We had her 100th birthday in the courthouse.
Right.
Probably, I can't remember what year that was. Okay. I'm sorry.
But anyway, she became a productive member of this community and held her head high. But, you know, the community was really, really for her. I mean, very protective. I went to the library once and said, when I was thinking about all this, I wanted some research. And the librarian looked me in the eye and said, why would you want to glamorize a criminal? I had asked about information about Lillian.
So, wow.
Yeah, they were, just don't mention
they
the
They were
Dillinger
very protective
escape.
About her, yes. Even up till very recently.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And still are, many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, she wouldn't accept any interviews about it. She never talked about it.
All her life she was besieged till the end. Movies where people were asking her. Everybody was asking her, and she just said no. I wrote her a letter one time and said, you'll never hear back from her, people said. She called me on the phone. She was very generous, talked at length to me, and then finally said, but I don't want you to do the play. So
even though the play was about her?
It was about her. I made no bones about it. That was the story I wanted to tell.
As an example, there was an article in the Times, New York Times, right after the escape, and they were talking about the escape of Dillinger, and they said, and the sheriff was at home baking pies. And that, you know, you have the gender thing and everything play on that.
She was vilified.
That would not happen today.
No.
No.
And it wasn't true then either.
No.
No. my.
That's just insane. I didn't realize that she was so involved in the community. Like yeah. I said, it, you know, we always hear the end of the Dillinger story is where she like drops off the face of the earth. Yeah. And I always assumed that she was, in fact, feeling so bad, even though she was besieged so much, whether she was at fault or not, that she would have gone into hiding and just avoided that and spent the rest of your life baking pies or getting away from all that.
Getting out of Crown Point.
Yeah.
She was very helpful with us when we first started our museum. She funded some purchase of file cabinets. And
she helped with the old settler's home that's there.
Wellington Clark Home.
Wellington Clark Home.
The homestead.
But surprisingly, and I think this shows her kind of courage, when it came time to preserve the sheriff's house, the historic old sheriff's house attached to the old jail that he escaped, she stepped up, became a very active member of that group, raised funds to help preserve it. Could have backed away from that one. Mm-hmm. You know, you would have expected. But this woman had courage. She had guts. She didn't back down to anything.
And that's very well portrayed in the play, too. Oh, and I think the character that we have.
Who plays Lillian?
We have a wonderful actress named Ann Nichols.
Okay.
And by the way, her husband's a photographer, so that was very nice. We got our cast pictures from that. But Ann plays this character extremely well. She got tremendous reserve. She had just natural dignity, but fire in her belly. Mm. If she felt that you were encroaching, or she felt you were wrong, she just stood up and told you so.
Right.
And this is 1934. Mm.
She looks like her.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
She found this wig, plaited hair, you know, just like the ones in the picture.
Because you've all seen pictures of her in the famous picture where Estelle and Dillinger had their arms over each other,
right.
Which ruined Estelle's career. He never got another office the rest of his life.
Yeah, I'm the bad guy. I'm the councilman that comes and the day after, and we're all consoling her, but I keep saying, we need to appoint a sheriff. We need to get this done. We need to do this. And then I'm the one that tells her, we want you to be sheriff. and then that's when we tell her, just in name only. Yeah, and she just turns on us. Oh, she says, I will be sheriff.
Now, there's a tribute to her and to all female officers in Crown Point across the courthouse. I was there for the dedication.
Yes.
With Sheriff Dominguez was still in office.
That was nice, wasn't it?
That was very nice. Was any of the historical groups in Crown Point involved with that, along with the sheriff's office?
No, it was mainly the SSCVA. It was the Visitors Bureau that did that.
Well, they did borrow a picture or two from us.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
for their plaque.
And that stands right outside the door. Now, what is that building used for now?
He's talking about the.
Right across from the actual municipal center.
Where the old Paramore Hospital was, headquarters. There's a monument out there, and they used a picture from the museum for that monument.
Is that building still used through the sheriff's department?
It is, as far as I know. It was kind of
a halfway house
for people that were working in their community during the day.
I think they stopped that, but I can't know. I don't know what office space is probably. I don't know.
Have there been any kind of awards or accolades given to her in hindsight because of the fact that she was the first female to assume this role?
None that I know of.
Never seen it mentioned anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we hear about the first pilot, and the first this and the first that. The first female in anything always seems to get all these accolades.
I don't think she was even a woman in the parade. You know, usually they have a man and woman of the year for the parade.
Well, we just finished the Indiana sesquicentennial,
mm-hmm.
and that a lot of firsts were mentioned in there. I bought every book available that came out on it, and Lillian Holly is not mentioned in them. And
that's such a shame.
It's wrong. And you're right.
You know, like we said, the whole hidden figure thing. Like, history is told through certain people's eyes, and the whole history is not told. And perhaps this play can go a lot further than the courthouse and bring a little attention to her and what she's done.
Mm-hmm. That's my goal. That's what I hope. And I've got a great cast doing it. So
how much rehearsal time did you guys put in?
Oh.
A bunch.
Bruce.
But
what
else did we do? I don't have a life.
It's been 6 weeks at least.
I think two and a half months.
Long?
Well, putting it all together and getting a cast, casting was a long, involved problem because of so many other commitments. But yeah, so
Bruce, were you when did you come into play? You said they kind of recruited you.
Well, I was this time. I was at the very beginning.
Okay.
The last time with Let's Get Hitched, I was. Marion was pleading to me that if he didn't fill this one slot, he couldn't do the play. And I'm just kind of an easy, you know, touch for things like that. So I said, "Yeah, I'll do it." Little did I know what it involves. But
well, you know, when you got such a handsome young man over here, and I want you to know, we've all dressed. We thought this was a television show.
So
I'm in costume, by the way.
That's right. So. Marty's got her pearl necklace on.
I'm fine. I'm just like I usually am.
But I have enjoyed it. I enjoy working with the cast members. It's you get kind of like a family after a while.
Mm-hmm. Isn't,
some of you
so
very
you
close.
Mentioned you were in three plays total so far?
Two. I actually had three parts. I have two parts of this play. So we were really
so
short-handed this time.
Many voices in your head then.
Yeah, right, right. That's probably the problem. But,
How long does the play run? It starts at 7 o'clock.
We are going to be an hour and 40 minutes. Is that what it ran last night?
Is it straight 15 through
minutes?
Or is it
no,
multiple acts?
We don't knock over the projector.
Yeah, there is a 15-minute intermission. So there's a first act and a second act.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the scenery, as I said, I've set it up to look like an old-time movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the scenery is a rear projection created by Les Osborne, one of our cast members. He came up with this idea. So instead of having to move scenery on and off stage or have a backdrop, and so, which we couldn't have done, you had no ability, he just simply projects an image. And
he is incredible.
He is
incredible.
Yeah.
And he was like that with the last play.
He was.
We wouldn't be anything without him.
So are these like authentic pictures of like the jail?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
when you're in the jail, you feel like you're in the jail,
right,
in the courthouse?
There's one picture that's very good of the kitchen at Lillian's house.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that kitchen. And I think the floor that exists in this picture is, I think, very similar to what Lillian had in her house.
I'm not sure that every picture is an authentic one, like that kitchen. I think it is that picture that we are using is a typical 30s kitchen.
It's authentic to the period.
You know, Marty pulls a lot of weight in this town. So when we were talking about this play, we're getting ready to write it, she said, well, why don't we just go over and go through that house? I said, well, the people live there now. She picked up the phone, called him, says, we'll be right over. We went over. The lady gave us a tour and showed us. And so I got to see the kitchen. And, yeah, Marty's right. It looks like that picture.
And now, believe it or not, one of the people who owned Lillian's house, the man in that family, the husband, is a member of our board.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. At the
circle.
At the courthouse, yes. It's gone full circle. Yeah.
Wow. I'm looking forward to seeing this. I'm hoping I can make it to one of these nights.
Oh, I hope you can.
Because this sounds pretty fascinating. What kind of response have you gotten thus far from the community now that it's out and saying, hey, we're going to present this play? Are you getting a lot of buzz about it?
The first week is always a little slow. And then when the word gets out that it's a great show and so-and-so went to the show and that creates more business. For I always think the second week is better sold. Yeah, but we're doing fine. I think there will be lots of walk-ins tonight.
Mm, I do too.
Yeah,
I know it. So, yeah.
I'm looking at the flyer, and I like the fact that underneath, and we haven't addressed it yet, it says Lillian, a play with benefits.
Yeah.
Okay, explain the title there. What's that?
My daughter does the poster every year, and every time I do a show, and so we were talking about the hors d'oeuvres to be served and what to call them. We were going to call them hot hors d'oeuvres. We were going to call them the heavy hors d'oeuvres. We're going to call them, I call them horse d'oeuvres. But anyway, and finally she said, "Why don't we just say a play with benefits?" And it just tickled me, so we went with that.
All right. Now, when we're doing this play, is it general admission seating? Is it reserved seating?
Yeah, it is general admission. And so the ticket you buy, you get any seat in the house. So get there early, get your hors d'oeuvres, and go sit down and enjoy the play.
Tickets available at the door still.
Some are available.
They are also available at brownpapertickets.com. So they can either get them from there or they can come into the courthouse and get tickets, or they can buy a ticket
At the door.
At the door.
Is there a price difference at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
Also, you can get them online or get more information anyway by calling at 663-0660. Again, that's 663-0660. Is that the courthouse itself?
Yes, it is.
Are you going to answer the phone?
That's our office. Hello?
We've talked about the play. One thing, and we've talked obviously about Dillinger, which is a big part of it. How much of the play centers on John Dillinger? I mean, is this something that John Dillinger, I don't want to say fans, but, you know, that historian that are infatuated with him should come to?
Our purpose is to talk about Lillian. And a big part of Lillian's life that we're dealing with was the escape. Mm-hmm. So we show Dillinger being captured. We hear about the crimes that he committed before he's captured. We see him in jail in Crown Point, and we see Billy, his girlfriend, and his lawyer, Louis Piquette, who's a colorful character played by Ed O'Brien. And we see those scenes. Mm-hmm. We see his escape, you know, as well as we can show it on a minimal stage. He's in the play, and he's there,
Who
and we're not.
We,
interestingly enough, and this will, we have a wonderful actor named Mike Lerner. Now, Mike Lerner is a famous actor in this region. Yeah. He was in a play during this play. He plays both Roy Holly, Lillian's husband,
and Dillinger,
and he plays them so well that it works. It's amazing. I hope you get to see it.
We've got about 3 minutes left. What have we not talked about that you want to let people know, either about the foundation, about the play?
I would like to have people know that we now have a restaurant in the courthouse. I think that's important for people to know. It's a very good one. It's called Noka's, and they're very new, and I think the community
And they're helping to sponsor this with the food.
Yes, they are.
So stop out and get there early.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important that people know that we have a restaurant now.
Okay.
Because it's going to help support the courthouse.
How has the Dillinger Museum worked out since it's been moved? We had Spiros on and a few others when they first moved it, but it's been a while now. Has the public turned out like you expected?
It's up and down. Okay. It's up and down.
But I, all the time going by there, I see people trying to find it or getting into it. And I have toured it. Of course, I did right away for research, taking my family there. I saw the museum originally when it was in Nashville, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
And also when it was up here at our visitor center on 8094.
Yeah, right? Kennedy and 8094 there.
Yeah, yeah.
Green Drive.
And yes, that's right. And It was good up there. I liked it. But it is really wonderful. So if you haven't seen the Dillinger Museum, which is on the sidewalk level of the courthouse, do go. It's a good museum,
so
good
go
experience.
So go early, maybe go 4 o'clock, see the museum, get the appetizers at 6, go to the play at 7, make a whole day of it.
Great idea. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Terrific.
And then go for coffee at the restaurant. Noka, right?
Noka.
Yes. Afterwards. Uh-huh. Will the cast be doing anything after the plays? Any meet and greets or anything like that?
Yeah, we hope to have some discussion periods following the plays because...
Like a Q&A session?
Exactly.
Okay.
We think people might be interested in the questions that we've been discussing here. And, you know, it's a fascinating story, no matter how you look at it.
I know you've written plays. Have you written any books?
I have not.
You need to.
Thank you.
In his spare time.
I have a movie script that is that the author loves. And it's about Diana of the Dunes.
Okay, that's a story unto itself. We'll have you back for
that. It's a wonderful one, Kent. Yes, it is.
Well, it's just about that time to say goodbye. We've got more things to talk about on NPR. But we've been talking about Lillian, a play with benefits. And it opens tonight at the historic Lake County Courthouse. What's the address there real quick?
Courthouse Square.
Right
in the middle.
You can't miss it.
Get information by calling the courthouse office at 663-0660. Get the tickets at the door. Get the tickets in advance online at brownpapertickets.com. And thank you all for joining us.
Thank
this
you.
Has been pretty
Thank
fascinating.
You so much.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening.